Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing on this fine Thursday?
I'm all right, mate. Thursday now, is it?
What's for there?
Why would we be? I mean, I would say you're saying it. Okay. The show comes out on Thursday. We're recording this a little earlier. So I got a little bit confused then because it actually releases
spoiled
on Wednesday night for a lot of us. So yeah. you've got a very sort of Eastern centric idea of things. And I think that's not what people come to abroad in Japan for, quite frankly. Don't want to hear about Japan, mate. Boring. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm on the verge of taking my driving test. Which is very exciting. Roundabouts are absolute shits, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean,
they're just so confusing. You're just like, nobody seems to want to tell you what they're doing. You've just got to guess, but you've got to be confident, but timid, but confident, but timid. But oh my God, I've crashed.
Exactly. Yeah, I completely forgot about roundabouts, to be honest. We don't have them in Japan, they haven't been invented yet. The concept of going round in circles, or North America for that matter. They don't have them in the US or Canada, right?
They do have them, but they are frequently very confusing. There was a great aerial shot of people trying to navigate them. navigate them in Texas. They just installed one. So people were going right, people were going left round them.
Oh, God.
It was so dangerous.
I've been around the world's worst roundabout and nearly crashed the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, right?
Arc
of Triomphe. I've driven around that twice, and it's gone incredibly badly on both occasions because it's a free-for-all, right? There's no lanes, there's no plan. You get onto the roundabout, and you just sort of go for it.
You just go.
I remember one time I was on it for like 3 minutes, which is a very long time to be going around a giant roundabout, round the Arc of Triomphe over and over, nearly being smashed into. And my GPS was like, turn left at the exit. And there was like 10 exits, and I missed them all. And then I eventually got off an exit and hit a dead end. It was just nothing. It was like a wall.
All right.
And it was like, turn around and go back to the Arc of Triomphe and die. And I had to do it all over again, and it was rubbish. So be careful if you're driving in Paris. Terrible place to drive.
Is it Gross Point Blank? Is that where is that the famous chase scene through the centre of Paris? I can't remember. There's one film where it's just that there's just this famous kind of 5 a.m. chase scene where they absolutely whip it around there, and it looks really exciting. But like, there's no markings on the floor. It's just confusing.
Yeah, all right. There's like no lanes or anything. But I'd love to see a car chase around the Arc de Triomphe. Wouldn't want to do it again. Yeah, I had a nice little. It was my birthday a few weeks ago, as you may recall, as it was yours as well. And I recently cashed in a voucher to have a massage. And it was one of the weirdest massages I've ever had. I laid down on this, like, on this bed, and they covered me in towels from like head to toe. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And they got this soothing music on. And then they just drench you in tea. They just come out with tea and just pour it all over the towels. And this is effectively waterboarding to my mind. Because I got my head back and I got this like liquid going over my face, all over my skin. It's like tea mixed with cement or sand or something. And it's like a thick, pasty cement. And then just as I was like, this is awful. This is the sort of thing Dick Cheney would approve. They put like rocks, hot rocks on my face, and I just sort of...
Hot rocks on your face?
Just hot rocks all over my face. Tea
Do
and
they not
towels.
Touch you? They just put tea and rocks on your face? What's
tea and
going
rocks
on
my face. And that was the massage.
What's that about?
That was my birthday massage, Pete. Would you be interested?
No, I definitely wouldn't. It sounds horrific. It sounds like you're being buried. It sounds like a kind of death trial or something. Like something you do to embalm a body.
Oh, God. It was horrible. And then you sort of go and have a shower. So they put the towels and tea over you. It's just really weird feeling that it's liquid being poured over you, over the towel. It feels like wrong, you know. In that same feeling when you're wearing clothes and they get like wet. You like go in a bath or in the sea. And it was horrible. And then the rocks were there. There was nothing relaxing about it. There was nothing therapeutic about it. But then you sort of go into the shower and you have to shower off all the tea and all the sand or whatever the hell was mixed in with the tea. But I've just been tea leaves. And then they did give me a nice massage after that. So
cancelled out the bad for what they've done.
To cancel out for the birthday waterboarding.
You're looking resplendent, mate. You're looking chilled out. You're drinking you've moved on to Starbucks from your hardcore boss coffees, I've noticed.
I am. I'm drinking Starbucks right now. It's very stylish.
What have they drawn on your what little kanji character have they drawn on the front?
They've drawn absolutely nothing. Nothing.
Oh, what's that underneath? Oh, it's 25. You said 25. Oh, interesting.
Well, it does say on the side here, CB Kohi. My initials, right? CB Coffee. But that's because it's cold brew coffee. I did actually for a moment,
Chris Broad. How did they not?
No, it's just cold brew. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Right. Got a story this week from Mel in Niigata. He says, "Dear Chris and Pete, back in the early 90s, I met a guy in Kyoto Station who helped me find the train I was looking for. I guess I was looking lost and he came up to me and said, 'Can I help you?' I was very grateful because I didn't have much Japanese back then. And he was a very handsome guy who smelled nice. He told me he liked English a lot. And there was a study abroad student in his junior high school that he had been in love with. Ooh. I was actually living with someone at the time, but called him after my relationship ended to see if this guy wanted to hang out. However, he blew me off, saying that he was too tired and too busy. Then the earthquake happened in Kobe, and I opened my house to a woman who needed a place to live. The woman came, and although she had lost her house, her job, and her possessions, she was very happy because she'd just met a nice Japanese guy who spoke English really well and was a doctor as well. Turned out it was the same guy. We'd put an advertisement in the Kansai Time Out magazine to see if anyone else had dated him, and got 50 phone calls from all kinds of women. Some of them laughed it off, but others were in tears because they thought they were going to be married to him imminently. We calculated that he was probably dating 3 or 4 women at a time, and none of the others knew. It's not illegal, but nasty, don't you think? Mel in Niigata. And that is following on from a story we had, was it last week, where there was a guy who got arrested for dating 35 women at once.
He was arrested for fraud, I think, in the end, because he managed to grab, I think, 900 quid's worth of gifts
and
stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean,
first hand experience from Mel.
Good on Mel for helping out in Kobe after the earthquake. But like that, this is like Dirty John the podcast, isn't it? Just like kind of like tracing this man's kind of bad works all over the place. It just seems like a lot of work. It seems like a lot of work, and you have to be a bit of a sociopath to do it. Incredible. 50 phone calls from all kinds of women. Incredible.
Bloody hell. I mean, wild, I wonder what happened to him. What was his game? It is a thing in Japan to have multiple girlfriends. Like when I was a teacher, and every teacher, any foreign teacher that's worked in Japan will testify to this, but you'll be like, how many girlfriends do you have? Every time the students will ask that, and you have to sort of be like, oh, I've got 10. And they'll all clap and go, and you're obviously lying because you don't have 10. You've even got one. Yeah, for the most part, I didn't have one, but I lied. But I lied anyway because I wanted to look cool, and it worked. But yeah, it's kind of like seen as this cool thing. And we've talked about it before, but cheating and infidelity is pretty rampant in Japan due to the social structure of things and just the way things are done. And also historically, the samurai. I remember speaking to a friend once, a Japanese friend, who was talking about it, and he said, it's samurai style because the samurai used to have like 10 girlfriends. So it's,
is it? Or is it just
samurai
style? Or is it just a social construct that women can't talk about their bad experiences? Probably that, innit?
Samurai
style. You can get away with it. Samurai style, baby.
It's true, actually, yeah. Like, I know for a fact women do cheat a lot in Japan as well. So it's a two-way thing. It's more to do with just the stresses of marriage here. A lot of marriages aren't overly romantic, and people seek that off in other ways. But that's a story for another day. But there you go, Mel. Thank you for your first-hand experience. I wonder what happened to the guy who dated 35 women after his arrest. What happened after that? I'll have to follow that up. Now, one of the most popular drinks in Japan is, of course, ramune. For those of you who don't know what ramune is, it's soda in a glass, in an inconvenient glass bottle. How can you describe it, Pete?
It's iconic drink. Crappy lemonade, sometimes melon flavoured, sometimes not.
How dare you? It's a national cuisine.
That comes crappy in a bottle that's too small to satisfy any thirst, and with an excruciatingly difficult little kind of testicle in the neck of the bottle, glass testicle in the neck of the bottle, kind of mechanism. It's infuriating. I don't know why they do it. I've bought it on more than one occasion to enchant friends, but then I drink it and I'm like, why am I doing this? I've got wet hands that are all sticky from the sugar, and it's just a nightmare. Why have we done this?
Oh no! I mean,
never mind.
I've never been that big of a fan of it, but it is quite refreshing on a hot day because. Typically, you'll find these ramune bottles, these soda bottles outside the fronts of kind of shops in like ice cold buckets. And they're typically sold at like festivals. And so I kind of associate it with Japanese festivals. It's kind of nice to have it on a hot day. But it's big business in Japan. It's kind of seen as like the national drink, one of the national drinks of the country, even though it was invented in the 1800s by a Scottish pharmacist living in Kobe with lots of girlfriends. And unfortunately for ramune, this wonderful drink that Pete despises, it is falling out of fashion. There were, at its peak, 2,300 companies producing ramune, just 37 today produce it. And they've gone from 1.3 million units in 2019 to just 855,000 bottles last year. And a lot of companies are drying up. And it's a pretty steep kind of decline, to be honest. It's not looking good for the future of ramune, but apparently the reason ramune is kind of dropping so badly is because of COVID-19, because all the festivals, right, have been stopped for a year now, and this is going to the second year that festivals just aren't happening. And so as a result, ramune is kind of drying up and people aren't buying it as much, and that is typically the place it's sort of consumed. So, it's a shame. It'll be a shame to see ramune die out, but I guess you wouldn't care, would you?
I'm very interested in the news piece that you sent over about this, that there's a National Ramune Association, the true NRA.
That's right.
That'd be enjoyable.
There's an organisation overseeing ramune. That's how big of a deal it is. But it's a sad story indeed.
Is ramune like a brand, or is it just like the style of bottle? Is it kind of like, you know, you have different brands of the same kind of drink effectively?
I think it's just the style of bottle effectively. And it's got to be like this sort of very sweet kind of artificial soda. But like the genius of ramune, and I've only featured it in two videos. I featured it many years ago in a video called 500 kilometers in 3 days across Japan with Ryotaro. That was the first time. And then in the Hiroshima video with my good friend Ellen on Journey Across Japan, I gave it to her just because I wanted to see it explode, because you have to sort of hit the top of it to release the sort of the glass ball into the bottle, and it just exploded everywhere. It was hilarious. But that's the only reason I get it, just to humiliate friends and get them covered in cheap soda. And also this week, anti-Olympic petition tops 200,000 signatures in just 2 days. The Olympics, the zombie Olympics, is still going ahead.
Will not die.
Right, the Terminator. The Olympics are still going on. But now, in just 2 days, 200,000 signatures have been signed asking for the event to be cancelled, even though it's just 3 months out now, on July 23rd. And 80% of Japanese citizens in polls say that they want the Olympics cancelled or postponed. But there's no indication it will happen, because the Japanese government really wants it to happen. In fact, the Olympic torch has been going on over the last few weeks. There's been some awkward situations. I remember hearing, I haven't read it, but somebody told me that one of the Olympic torch runners had COVID and was just like running through a town. Oh, I don't think they're wearing a mask either, and they spread it.
Bloody hell.
Holding the torch, spreading the virus.
It's not ideal, is it?
But they're still going ahead. Some say it's because of the television rights and the money they're expecting, because obviously the Olympics have cost a lot of money, somewhere in the region of $15 billion, and the TV rights sold from the Olympics will hopefully cancel out some of those costs. But I don't know what it will take to cancel the Olympics at this point. Is that the music of the Olympics?
I was just looking at the latest updates on the Olympics and some horrible websites crying out loud. Yeah, it obviously will go ahead. They can easily sort of just reduce the amount of people that are going in. But yeah, the problem is, I said it before, like the vaccination program and have not hit pace. When it comes to like infections in Tokyo and Osaka and places like that, like, how bad is it? I mean, compared to everywhere else. I know, like, they're saying, like, terrible increases and stuff like that, and they're very worried, and they're reducing licensing hours and stuff like that. But, like, is it just truly, this is just what happens when you know, you don't vaccinate people, and it's just been going on for a very, very long time?
Well, the numbers aren't good. I think in Tokyo and Osaka's got 1,000 cases. Tokyo was around 1,000. Highest since January. So it's high for Japan.
Yeah, so it's high for Japan, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not high at all, is it really?
I think that, that's not the worry. The worry is that a lot of hospital beds are kind of filled up, and a lot of hospitals are now full, and they've had to turn away people, and people have been dying at home because they haven't been able to get into the hospital. From what I understand, Japan has less intensive care beds than we do in the UK. Not sure why that is. It seems odd, given that the population here is very old, but I'm not sure. But that's been their downfall here. So it's more that's the factor, that hospitals are getting full and people are dying as a result. But I don't know. Still no interesting or good news on the vaccine front here. We'll see what happens with the Olympics. We should put a bet on. Will it happen or not?
I think it'll probably happen, but but they can just do it behind closed doors like they have with the football forever.
Yeah.
So there's ways of doing it.
All I know is if we give all the Olympic kind of athletes, participants, Ramne, then we can flip the Ramne situation on its head in an instant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make it an energy drink. That's what pretty much every of soda supplier or kind of, I noticed Pepperami started in the UK, which is like to American listeners, is like a thicker, sweeter, Slim Jim. It's like, they've started saying that it's like a protein snack rather than just a bit of meat sausage in a packet.
Exactly. Put some vitamin C in an Ramne and it'll be like a health drink, wouldn't it? There you go.
Yeah, just put them in that little section with the little Vita C's and the liver tonics and stuff.
The liver
tonics.
Put it in there. The health drinks. The health drinks that aren't really so healthy. we'll be back in a moment with the fax machine after this break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee,
you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson, in the fax machine?
Oh, we got a message from Carlos Carvajal. Oops.
Carlos Cal.
Carvalho. Carvalho. or Carvajal? Maybe Carvajal. Carlos Carvajal. Hello, Grey Pete and Noble Chris. You got me, it's just Portuguese. I panic and I say everything wrong. I'm Carlos. I'm Portuguese born. Staines massive resident and professional globetrotter. Working as cabin crew for a very British airline. Wink, wink. since my days as a young Japan enthusiast, one of the things that always fascinated me was the philosophical concept of Yamato Damashi, the soul of Japan. The term is sometimes hijacked by its nationalist movements to create the image of the Japanese super race, but in origin, it's a much more broader concept and it refers to the harmony of the actions in Japanese society. How everyone lives their lives conscious of their impact on others and the environment around them, creating tranquility. During my travels to Japan, either for work or for holiday, I always try to look for examples of Yamato Damashi. You might find it silly, but I believe the first time I experienced this Japanese soul was during my stay in a ryokan. My room had this lovely garden view, while having a cuppa, I was hit by this sudden realization, the sound of nature, the perfectly planned garden, the beautiful yet simple room, the delicious roasted tea prepared by the lady of the ryokan, the perfect omotenashi from all of the staff, how every piece in this puzzle fitted so perfectly. This had to be Yamato Damashi and something that can only be found here in Japan. My question to you guys is, during your travels in Japan, have you ever had a moment such as this when you realize you're experiencing something that can't be found anywhere else and you actually felt the work of the people behind it to get you to that point? Salutations, Carlos Carvajal. Carvalho. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry, Carlos. I absolutely butchered your name. If I'm ever flying on a very British airline in the near future, please don't punch me in the face.
IP throws your red eye cocktail over your face while you're asleep on the British Airways flight.
I booked a flight to Japan on British Airways, so they owe me. They didn't refund me. They've given me a credit. So they
don't take it out on Carlos. Poor Carlos. I don't know. That's a really good point. Yamato Damashi, the soul of Japan. I'm trying to think of a really nice moment where I've kind of had that. Walking through a Kyoto garden the other day with Connor. I didn't feel it because Connor was there. But if Connor wasn't there, the garden would have been lovely.
This garden, Chris.
I demand that you do the Connor voice for the remainder of the podcast. Actually, don't. I'll do my ears in. But I mean, staying at a ryokan, it all comes together beautifully. Do you know what omotenashi means? Omotenashi?
I don't actually. No. I don't know what it means.
Hospitality or treatment, basically. Right. And they kind of use it a lot in Japan to describe every aspect of the service sector. You know, omotenashi, you know, this hospitality. Okay. Which, to be fair, is very good. I'm not going to joke about it. It is very good. But you get it. Basically every ryokan that I've done in a video where I've gone with ryotaro, I always feel that. And actually there was the video we did last year, Japan's most expensive train, the grand class on the bullet train, which I think, I don't know if you've rode in it. Have you been on it?
I have. It's very nice.
Free slippers, the soul of Japan. I mean, that's nice. You've got the big chair, you're cruising through Japan, 200 miles an hour, beautiful scenery. You got the big sort of chair you can slump in and turn into like a bed. The nice kind of staff come through and they give you rice crackers and sake on demand. That, for me, is Yamato Damashi. Definitely isn't. That's how I feel about it. What about you?
Beautiful. I mean, it sounds like you're like a business class travel. That's very much your...
No, I don't do it that often.
Yeah. I think it's just kind of like walking, you know, again, I'll sort of, again, I have limited stories because I've not been for a little while, but traveling to Koffa to watch a football match and sort of walking through a, like, just walking through like a field and like,
walking this, through
it's
a
not
field.
Like, well, it's not like, it's all sort of like, there's no like, you know, and like if you go into like the countryside in England, like,
yeah.
Everything's kind of very sort of separated, and there's loads of fences, and there's loads of like walls, and there's loads of like, it's made very clear that that isn't your land. But I think in Japan, there aren't quite so many kind of like dividers from,
that's
from,
a good point,
from landowner
actually, yeah.
to landowner. And everything just seems like just more natural and more, like, even though these are farming, like, you know, farmlands, like it doesn't feel that way. You can see the mountains in the background. It just seems like there's no separation of people's plots and stuff, and I really appreciate that.
That's a really good point, actually. I never thought about that. Like, we talked in the past about how I'm not a big fan of the way Japanese cities look, or towns. They're very kind of unremarkable. There's not much historic architecture there. They all look the same, effectively, in the countryside. Like, I've gone to 43 of Japan's 47 prefectures, and most towns look the same. But the countryside makes up for it massively, because you've got this nice, beautiful flat terrain, the rice fields and whatnot. And as you say, yeah, there are no fences. I never realized that. And then you've just got these big, huge mountains in the background, these sprawling mountains as far as the eye can see. It's absolutely stunning. So the countryside of Japan certainly makes up for some of the more dreary, underwhelming looking cities. Yeah. Yamato Damashi. We've got one here from Lauren, who says, "Hey guys, my name's Lauren. I'm originally from Australia, but moved to Finland when I was 20, and I've been living here for the last 6 years. I have a question for Chris. As somebody who has moved from one culture to another, do you find you've unintentionally adopted any Japanese mannerisms by virtue of the fact that you're surrounded by Japanese people 24/7? And a question for Pete, how do you cope with the mantle of being the best loved host of the Abroad Japan podcast?" Thank you for keeping me entertained.
Heavy is the head.
Whilst
heavy
chopping
is
firewood.
The head that wears the crown.
All the best, Lauren from Finland. Go on then, Pete. How do you feel?
I feel good. And I'd like to, I forgot what, is it tack? Is tack? Taksomaket? Is that thank you in those languages up there?
I don't know.
No, Finnish is different. Finnish is different, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. I mean, look, it's been a long journey for me. And look, it's just great to be part of the conversation between me and Chris. And I'm just glad. I just hope to keep this mantle for as long as possible. And
until he's replaced. Point.
Until I'm replaced.
Talking.
Until Connor is available again.
I hope not. I mean, the thing I always think about is whenever I'm a lot more grateful when people help me out, because in Japan, whenever you finish a day at work, you'll sort of say, "Otsukaresama," like, thank you for your hard work. You won't be like, "All right, bye, I'm off to work. I'm off home now, Dave. See ya." It'll be like, you know, the equivalent in the UK would be like, "Thank you for your hard work, Dave. Good job today. See you later." You know, we don't do that in the UK. We sort of just run out of the office, don't we? Like, "I got to go. Got to have dinner now. Bye." And just run out. But I'm a lot more aware of the hard work. Aware and grateful and thankful when people help me out. And I'll sort of express that a lot more.
That's nice.
And sort of that's something positive, I guess, because all those years working in a school, leaving the, like, when I walk out of the school, I've got to say otsukare to, like, 150 teaches or something, so, you know, it got drilled into me pretty well. So I'd say that, being appreciative for the work of others. So that's a good thing.
Nice.
That's a good
thing.
That
is a good thing. Yeah. Lovely.
I'm a good person.
Fashion. You are a good person. I got a message from Mary. G'day, Chris and Pete. Another good day. After being an avid subscriber and listener for a while, I can no longer listen to that podcast theme tune without giving it the love and adoration it truly deserves. It's just a bloody good theme tune. Makes me happy every time. I even have a little dance while it's on if I'm in a position to do so, as I just did. Come to think of it, the only theme tune I enjoy more is the Journey Across Japan tune, which is also a dead set banger of a song. Thank you both for sharing your wit and conversation with the world. The podcast and the YouTube videos are always a highlight of my week. My question to you is, how do you feel about Japanese music? And for both of you, if you could only listen to one artist band for the rest of your days, who would it be? Mary, Sydney, Australia.
I want to cut out the clip of you singing that a minute ago, that yeah, cover.
Just
use that instead of the song in the next series of Jedi Crystal Town. Oh my God. Mix it up a little bit. I think Japanese music I'm not overly big on. However, I do listen to one artist every single day, and that is Tatsuro Yamashita. Because I must admit, when I'm working, if I listen to like an English song, English-speaking song, whatever, I'm a bit distracted by the words. But when it's a Japanese song, I'm able to phase out a lot better and focus on my work. It doesn't become a distraction. So either I've got to play music with no lyrics, or it's got to be somebody singing Japanese. Tatsuro Yamashita. And he's got this kind of cool chill hop, kind of city pop vibe, this sort of funky, jazzy music style. Mm. A lot of people don't like it because it sounds too happy. And it's at odds with my character in some respects because it is so happy. But it's just nice. I have my morning coffee. I listen to some Tatsuro Yamashita on YouTube and I get the work, get the job done, get the editing
Lovely.
Done. Yeah, what about you?
Smashing. I'll sometimes put the radio station J-Rock on my internet radio while I'm washing up.
J-Rock.
Gets me through. Just very kind of derivative sort of punk rock. Recorded by Japanese artists, and it's called J-Rock. It's just you can get it on pretty much every digital, internet radio, and also just online. J-Rock. There's no speaking, there's no DJs, it's just music.
The power of radio. Enjoyable. I still can't believe when I was a university student, I had a digital radio in my kitchen and I had it running day and night. Just so whenever we went in the kitchen, there was something to listen to. And it was absolute radio. It was absolute 80s, which of course you worked for.
I was on for a very long time.
You weren't on the 80s one though, were you? I never heard your voice.
I wasn't, no. I think my 80s knowledge isn't really, not worthy. It extends to the Vice City soundtrack and no further, to be quite frank. Whenever I play like a little pub quiz game or a trivia game with my partner, she absolutely bums 80s music. So she's absolutely like, whips me at anything kind of 80s trivia related, and she's on absolute 80s, so it works.
Oh, really?
It works out.
That's cool. Those are the days. Yeah, that's kind of a nice twist of fate there, I thought. But the radio I listened to every day, I ended up working on it with a guy that was on it. It's good, isn't it? I'm trying to make this sound profound, but it just sounds shit.
Yeah.
Got one
probably,
in from Tyler.
Probably, he says, probably should have gone a bit higher than that, to be honest, mate.
I was so profound. Hello, Chris and Pete. My name's Tyler, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I love everything about Raw in Japan. Look forward to listening while I stock the shelves at Walmart this summer. I'm joining the United States Navy, and since I scored very good on my test, I basically got to pick wherever I want to be stationed and wherever I want to go in Japan. Good Lord, that's amazing. Well done. Only one problem, though. There are 5 different naval bases in Japan, and I don't know which one to choose, and I'd like your help. What do you think is the best place to be in Japan between Okinawa, Sasebo in Nagasaki, Yokosuka, I can never pronounce that, Yokosuka, in the sort of Yokohama area, Kanagawa, also near Yanagata. Hey, where is Kanagawa? Yeah, it's also the same region. And Misawa in Aomori Prefecture. Personally, I'm thinking Sasebo because it shares the port with the Japanese port, and I'd like to practice my Japanese, or Yokosuka because of its proximity to Tokyo. Keep on doing what you're doing, guys. All the best. Tyler. That's a good question. Mm. Any ideas?
Good on you, Tyler.
Where'd you go?
Congratulations on doing very good on your
fantastic
test.
Stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like Okinawa's, I suppose, like their bases are world famous for, you know, it's just an army base. I have literally no frame of reference for this at all, but would you, Kanagawa, I very much enjoyed. Nice place.
Kanagawa.
Big fan of that town.
I always get mixed up with Kanazawa. Which is around the back,
yes.
Near the giant squid and not all beef. see last week's episode for more on that. I'd actually go with Sasebo because I've just got back from Sasebo for the first time ever.
Ah.
And it's a beautiful part of the world. Like, it's a really nice part of Japan. I think Yokosuka is good because it's kind of near Tokyo. And I suppose if you want to be near Tokyo, then that's the one to go for. But if you want a true, authentic experience of the real Japan, and if it's not Tokyo, it's instantly the real Japan, then I would say go to Sasebo, because I thought it was an incredible place. You've got Fukuoka on your doorstep. You've got Nagasaki just down the road. You've got the most incredible scenery, as you'll hopefully see in Journey Across Japan 3 and Japan's biggest theme park, the Dutch theme park, Huis ten Bosch. House ten Bosch.
Fun.
It's pretty good. Go there, Tyler. Best of luck.
Lovely.
Let us know what decision you come to. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to LeBronJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again on Sunday. But for now, guys, have a great week and we'll see you then. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.